A quick note for our listeners. This Radio Parkies presentation is sponsored by YOPN Network and includes people who have been living with Parkinson's for quite some time. The vocal challenges that you hear are due to the progression of this disease as well as deep brain stimulation surgeries. And we come as we are here. Everyone has a purpose and a contribution, and everyone is welcome. Thank you for listening.
You are unique, active, determined, resilient. You are not your diagnosis, and you are not alone. This is Young Onset Parkinson's Network. We believe young onset Parkinson's disease does not define you. You define it. We are a safe place to learn, connect, and engage within a supportive community that actually gets it, because we've got it too. Welcome to Young Onset Parkinson's Network. Living well starts here.
We'll be back with a full interview in 30 seconds.
All-American and a record-setting track star for the Ohio State Buckeyes before Parkinson's disease slowed him. But it has not stopped him. Scott Ryder is now in a different kind of race. This one is taking him across the country for Parkinson's research. And we are so excited to tell you that Scott is joining us live this morning from the Ohio Health Neuroscience Wellness Center. Scott, thank you so much for this. You are working to be part of a documentary called Parkinson's Across America. Can you tell us about that?
I am, thanks, and good morning. Yeah, myself and Jim Morgan, a good friend of mine, we both have Parkinson's disease, both diagnosed 16 years ago. We are traveling coast to coast, capturing stories of all different aspects of people with Parkinson's disease, caretakers, innovators, physicians, and today brings us to one of the best facilities in the United States of America, Ohio Health. We're excited to be here.
Parkinson's Across America, just to remind you and your listeners, was something that we had set out to start pre-COVID. Our goal was to travel across America with a film crew and capture life with Parkinson's from every different angle, from the care partner angle, from the person with Parkinson's, from innovators, researchers, physicians. And then COVID hit, and we were originally set to travel on a motor coach. We had really contracted for one, and COVID, we were going to go 41 straight days and travel across the country. That was pre-COVID. And then COVID hit, and as bad as COVID was, one of the good positive things that came out of it, we had to postpone our trip. So what we did is we set out last June, and myself and Jim Morgan, who also has Parkinson's, we set out with a film crew, and we take off for a week and travel. And we started at the villages in Florida. And then so we come home for 3 weeks and set out for another week. We started at the villages in Florida, and we ended up in Southern California. We traveled over 8,000 miles. We interviewed over 400 people. We went to 8 different integrated healthcare facilities. I mean, we interviewed the who's who, Dr. Oak, and great facility. We went to the Muhammad Ali Center. We were at the Blue Ruvo Brain Center in Las Vegas. We were at a Center of Excellence in Charleston, South Carolina. We were at Northwestern University. So you name it, we've been there. We had some amazing experiences. We captured, you guys, over a terabyte of information.
Is that bigger than a gigabyte?
That's a lot bigger than a gigabyte. So we have hours and hours of video and film. The stories are just amazing. And so the end game is we want to turn this into a documentary and then sell it. And we're going to donate it to a streaming service. We'll sell it. We're going to donate 100% of the proceeds to the Parkinson's Foundation. And probably the biggest thing that's happened since we started out of the blue, we've got a message from a guy named Erith Lehman, L-E-E-M-O-N. So if you go to our website, pdacrossamerica.com, you'll see his picture. He's going to help us. He already is helping us. But he's the creator, big guy behind shows like The Deadliest Catch, Axemen. I mean, he's the real deal. So that's a huge blessing.
How'd you find him?
He found us. He was at a Parkinson's Foundation event called Moving Day in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And he was just there to support somebody. He talked to a Parkinson's Foundation employee, and she told him about our venture, Parkinson's Across America. He reached out to us and said, I want to help you guys.
How'd you finance? Did you finance yourself or did you get some sponsors?
No, we raised over $200,000 so far. So again, if you go to our website, you'll see our sponsors. It's Boston Scientific was a sponsor. Mass Mutual was a sponsor. Kizik Hands Free Shoes, Magna Ready, Ohio Health, Delay the Disease, Total Health Works, which is a guy named David Zid and Jackie Russell, who are legends in the Parkinson's exercise business. So we had a lot of people step up. The Cutler Family Foundation helped us because it's expensive.
That is an amazing list of sponsors. In fact, I have 17 pairs of Kiziks.
Do you really?
Yes, almost.
I have two.
We had an event, you guys, here in my neighborhood a couple weeks ago called the Party for Parkinson's. I won't go into all the details, but we had auction items, and one of the auction items was a free pair of Kizik shoes every week for a year.
Stop.
Yeah.
These shoes rule. For our listeners, these are the shoes that you can, Scott's got them on his toes. These are the shoes you can just slip your foot into easily. They're already tied, and it's just, you don't even need a shoehorn. It's wonderful.
They're hands-free footwear. That was one of our stops. We in Parkinson's Across America in Salt Lake City area went to their headquarters. So, I mean, I know the creator of Kizik Shoes and their whole staff, and I'm incredibly supportive of the Parkinson's community.
You get sponsors. Is there anybody in particular you're always going to remember?
I'll tell you the one thing I'm always going to remember from this trip, and it's really two things. We took off once from my home, and I live in Beaufort, South Carolina, and my videography team was, two of them were local. We got an hour and a half down the road, Mike and Heather, and I realized I forgot my medicine. And I don't have to tell you guys, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
So I called home and I found a neighbor that would drive towards us, and we turned around and drove back because we were heading north. So it put a real kink on our schedule. But my point to the story is we stopped at a gas station that we would not have stopped at had I not forgot my medicine. And we stopped there because we were hungry, and we went to a popular sub place that's in a lot of gas stations. Its name's real similar to a system in New York City, a subway system. And anyway, we're in line, and there's one employee working. I'd say the guy was 43 or 44 years old. I'm not going to kid you guys. He was moving slower than molasses. And I was getting a little irritated, and I wasn't exhibiting that, but I was frustrated because we were trying to hurry. And I don't know why. We got up to the checkout, and I had a whole change in attitude. Just for the heck of it, I said to this guy, do you know what Parkinson's disease is? There was a long pause. He said, dude, do I know what Parkinson's is? I was diagnosed a week ago.
Oh. Wow.
And in a matter of minutes, he shed his shirt, his work shirt. His coworker just come in. He came out to the parking lot. We've captured his story on film. He knew nothing. He didn't know what a movement disorder specialist was. He didn't know about exercise. And so we were able to help this guy. I mean, what are the chances? At a gas station.
I'm getting children up in this story. Beautiful.
Well, I've got one more for you. Then we're at a gas station in North Carolina coming back once. This is just the craziest of all. Filling up for gas. I don't know why. I peeked around the gas pump to see who was on the other side. I have no idea why. We're driving. If you go to our website, you'll see we traveled in a 17-passenger van with all our sponsors' names on the side. But this person pumping gas on the other side couldn't see our van, but he had a shirt on. Heather, this won't mean anything to Heather. She's too young, Mike, but you'll remember. the shirt had a picture of Johnny Bench.
Oh, Johnny Bench.
Of course. I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, and I followed the Cincinnati Reds as a kid. I could, you know, Johnny Bench, Dave, Joe Morgan, Dave Concepcion, George Foster.
1976, they beat the Red Sox.
You got it. Yeah, I know. That was painful for Red Sox fans.
You talking about the red shirt with the number 5 on it? It says Bench.
I don't know what number it
has. You looked it up, I think. Yep.
You said that I was too young. I had one of those shirts.
Seriously. So I looked around the corner. I looked at him. I said, Johnny Bench. He said, you know who Johnny Bench is? And so I started naming all the Reds. Then I come to find out he's from a town. I said, where are you from? Because it was himself, his wife, and his son. And they were going to South Carolina on a beach vacation. He said, oh, you know, I'm from a small town you've never heard of, Zanesville, Ohio. I said, Zanesville, you mean the home of Tom's Ice Cream Bowl, the White Bridge, and Con's Potato Chips? I thought this guy was going to die. He said, how do you know all that? Once again, and guys, keep in mind, he had never seen our van. He didn't peek around. I don't know why he said this. I know, I guess I had a shirt on that said Parkinson's Across America. He said, I have Parkinson's disease. I was just diagnosed 2 months ago. At a gas pump. Same thing. He knew nothing. So we were able to help him. And I'm telling you, if the trip would have stopped right after those two visits, it would have been worth it.
I'm always amazed at the number of people who know so little. And we all have our associations with different chronic conditions and diseases. It's kind of like when you go to a funeral, you bring all your pain and your memories of loss with you, not just to help the bereaved, right?
Sure.
So as soon as you say to someone, I have this, they have an association of Michael J. Fox or their grandfather or whatever. And they'll say that. They'll say, oh, my grandfather had that or something along those lines. Now they're getting diagnosed younger and younger. Do you think that that is because of environmental factors or is there something in the genetic template or what do you suppose, Scott?
I'm going to argue that it's environmental and genetic combined. I'm absolutely 100% convinced about the environmental aspect, but I think our genetic composition, the environment affects some people differently than others. And the example I use, I have a friend in the neighborhood, had 3 siblings. 2 of them are light-haired, 2 are dark-haired. The 2 with light hair both have Parkinson's, the 2 with dark hair do not.
Interesting.
And so I think, and then I'm sure you've read Dr. Oken's book, The Prescription for Ending Parkinson's Disease Now. Yeah, I'm more convinced than ever after reading that it's environmental and our government's messing up big time.
Michael J. Fox, the same thing this weekend on Jane Pauley, with Jane Pauley. Mm. He said it's both environmental and genetics.
Yep. It's complicated. You know, Dr. Oken told us that one day Parkinson's will be identified by the type. Like there might be the Mike type, the Heather type, the Scott type. And I always call it the snowflake disease. You know, it's so every snowflake's different, and Parkinson's is just different for everybody.
Can't we get a star named after us instead of a disease?
Yeah. But you know, Heather, you said something earlier. I find that if I start a conversation with everybody, just about everybody knows somebody that has Parkinson's.
And like you said in one of your videos, Scott, everyone is suffering, everyone has something.
They do. Everybody's got a story. Every 6 minutes now, guys, somebody's diagnosed with Parkinson's. So, you know, we've been on here about 18 minutes. There's 3 people whose lives have just changed forever. It's crazy.
Yeah. On Parky TV, we did a live talk and I joined it. And there would be a bell that would go off every 6 minutes. It was actually quite shocking.
Well, I'm not going to give away too much, but wait till you see what's going to be in our video, Parkinson's Across America. To represent that.
What can you give away?
What I can give away is that our theme was hope and encouragement. Every single person that we interviewed, which was over 400 people, we asked them a reason to have hope and encouragement, even though you have Parkinson's, and every single person had an answer. And I think that should be encouraging to people that have Parkinson's. Beyond that, I don't want to give away too much content because I want to leave a reason for people to watch it, but I can promise you that it's a look at Parkinson's disease like it's never been looked at in the history of mankind, and I mean that. It's crazy. I mean, we also, Mike, you like this. Every person we interviewed, we asked them their favorite flavor of ice cream.
I really like chocolate.
Yeah, how about you, Heather?
It's really hard to choose between chocolate and vanilla.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you what the overwhelming winner was, but it was neither of those. You have to wait and see Parkins, the documentary, to learn. But it's crazy. I never would have guessed it.
One thing I wanted to point out, too, that if anybody goes looking for Scott Rider, we're not talking about Scott Rider of the Halkirk games, not the guy wearing the, you know,
skirt.
But we're talking about Scott Rider, who does a tremendous amount of work for our community. Scott, can you go back a little bit to talk about this journey that you took? And was your wife with you? Was Kelly with you?
She was not. Jim Morgan and myself have said, had we taken our original idea of going 41 straight days, we probably would have returned home, both of us, to no spouses. So going out a week at a time made it was a good break for her, and you know, time for me to get home, because it's tiring being on the road. It's not a good way to live, you know. You don't eat well. It's hard to exercise. I will tell you guys another interesting story. We were in Chicago, and Jimmy Choi was there. We had dinner with Jimmy Choi and Bill. Thank you. Walk, you know, the prolific guy that walks across the country. There was a gentleman there whose name is escaping me right now because I have Parkinson's, but he said, you've got to go to this small town in Kansas. I said, why? He said, just call this lady. You've got to go to this town in Kansas. And so out of respect, I called this lady, and she was so compelling. Her name was Elaine. She has done so much for Parkinson's in Kansas, which is a pretty spread out remote state. But what I said to her, I said, Elaine, I will come see you if you promise to make me a homemade lemon meringue pie and homemade noodles. And I got there, and there was a homemade lemon meringue pie and homemade noodles. It was small town USA, farm country. She said her husband was a hobby farmer, and I think he has 2,000 acres. That's a hobby farmer.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So the experiences were just...
This reminds me of some old woman came on the show. Her name was Corinne Snow. She's out in Newfoundland, Canada. She found no support out there, so she got a list of people with Parkinson's, and she cold called every single one of them.
Wow.
She created a support group just by doing that.
You know, I'll share something else with you guys I learned. I'm being very transparent now. I always thought I was kind of the tough guy, you know, this IWNQ, I'm never quit, and the guy with the positive attitude. But I learned that I bet you 95% of people with Parkinson's are the same way. I'm not unique in that way. I'm just telling you straight up, I thought I was. But people with Parkinson's are tough and generally speaking have a pretty darn good attitude.
Yes.
You have great attitude, Scott.
One thing that you've done that has made me think about Parkinson's in a different way is you're always adaptive. You're always finding something that adapts the situation. Like when you talked about adaptive housing,
mm-hmm.
That's fascinating to me. I can't stop thinking about it and more so dreaming about it.
By the way, the adaptive housing thing worked out pretty good. It was featured in Southern Living magazine. And in the end, we wrote a check for $200,000 to the Parkinson's Foundation. And people can buy the plans for the adaptive house on Southern Living's website. And every time a plan is sold, a portion of the proceeds go to the Parkinson's Foundation. But Heather, you will like my latest, pickleball and Parkinson's.
I saw that video too. That's my next question.
Yes.
I know more pickleball players than I ever have.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Why pickleball?
I'll tell you why pickleball. You know, obviously I have some physical limitations after battling this disease for 17 years. Pickleball court is half the size of a tennis court. And good pickleball players, of which obviously I am not one, but don't move around a lot. It's like if you've ever played somebody again in racquetball, really good racquetball players not running all over the court, they know where to be. And I think it was Wayne Gretzky said a really good hockey player doesn't, I forget how he said it, he doesn't anticipate where the puck's going to be. He gets there before the puck's going to be there, something to that. Pickleball is sort of the same way. If you learn, you don't have to move a whole lot. It's a very social event, a very positive event for Parkinson's, for not everybody, but for hand-eye coordination. It's really important and helpful. And then for the social aspect of it, as we know, people with Parkinson's can be a lonely disease. People tend to hide out because they don't want people to see them shaking.
Yeah, they don't want to see people. They don't want to deal with the executive function problems and all the other things too. I think depression and anxiety keeps a lot of people from reaching out.
You know, Heather, it's interesting you say that. I remind people that dopamine, which is the root of our problem, lack thereof, dopamine production, obviously it gives us the ability to move, but it also creates our sense of well-being. And I think we forget that sometimes.
And so exercise and community help make dopamine happen.
Of which Parkinson's is both. So the way it all kind of got started was my son lives in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and right outside Coeur d'Alene is the number one pickleball paddle company in the world, a company called Selkirk. So I did a little research on Selkirk, and Mike, you talked about cold calling. I walked in their world headquarters and said, hey, are Mike or Rob available for a couple minutes? And this guy said, well, who's asking? I said, oh, I'm Scott Ryder. Well, I didn't get to see Mike and Rob that day, but it started on a relationship with their company, and they've been incredibly supportive. And then they connected me with what's called the APP, which is, there's three pickleball professional leagues, and the APP is one of them. And the APP sent a film crew to my home here in Beaufort, and we invited Dr. Henson, who's a movement disorder specialist at the Medical University of South Carolina. And then they featured us on CBS Sports Network. So it brought a lot of attention to Parkinson's, and we got some big things for him.
You were the Ohio State champion 800-meter runner, correct?
I was twice what we call the schoolboy champion. And then sadly, I still hold the school record in the outdoor 800 meters at Ohio State to this day, which is pretty sad.
Best mid-distance runner ever. And the legs in the pictures of the news items. Wow.
On that note, since we're just kind of rambling, this is fun. I got a call from a writer in New York City who's doing a story on the 40th anniversary of, Heather, you're too young to remember this, but Sebastian Coe broke the world indoor record in 800 meters. And I was in that race back in 1983. And this guy's doing a whole article on that story. So I found a way to bring Parkinson's into that story as well. So
the guy that won the gold medals in 80 and 84.
Say that again.
He won the gold medals at the Olympics in 80 and 84.
He did. He won in Moscow and he won in LA, gold and silver.
Wow. And you ran against him?
Well, you can say that. I saw his backside the whole race. I ran behind him, Heather.
Pretty good.
It was a good experience. It was in England. It was a great experience. I'm very grateful for that.
Wow. I was talking to Davis Finney, and everyone talks about seeing his backside too, even now.
Yeah.
Because as we've mentioned before, cycling is easier than walking sometimes for us.
Parkinson's Across America actually stopped at the Davis Finney Foundation, interviewed one of their key supporters, the executive director, and it was very inspirational.
Polly?
Yes, it was.
Wonderful.
Yeah, lovely people.
Brilliant.
Cycling, you know, I had back surgery in January, so cycling has saved me. I get on my Peloton bike every morning now until I can get back on the road, so I love cycling.
Back surgery?
Yeah, my second one. Not good, I know.
L4, L5?
That was first. This time was L3 to 4.
Oof, I'm right behind you.
Yeah, it's spinal stenosis, as we all know, is real common amongst people with PD, right?
As are kidney problems, shoulder problems, neck problems.
Yeah, crazy.
Hip problems.
Foot problems.
Brain problems. Wait, stop. Oh, no.
problem. It's there.
Then there's the big C word, constipation.
Stop talking about me like that.
Yeah, it's brutal for some people, you know, it truly is.
Pain in the ass.
Yes. Yes, literally.
What were you going to ask, Mike?
I just kind of run down the list of things he's done.
That was going to take, that's going to take a long time.
Yeah, I will not quit. 17 years post-diagnosis. His own YouTube station where he interviews people. He sadly adapted the housing community. Took a bus ride across America to meet people with Parkinson's. He's a pickleball player, friend of the show. Scott, you're amazing. Now, if everyone was like you, Parkinson's would be cured.
Thank you for the compliment. I'm not amazing. You know, I think, as we know, some medications makes people with Parkinson's obsessive. Some are obsessive shoppers, gamblers. I'm sort of obsessive thinking of ways to create awareness. And I like to say I decided early on I could be a contributor or a consumer. And what I mean by that, and by the way, not everybody's cut out to be a contributor. But, you know, I thought I could sit back and consume the information and materials, those that have gone before me, all the research, everything they've done to help the cause, or I can contribute. And when I had to stop working after 30 years as a financial advisor, I wanted to find a way to contribute to the Parkinson's community. So, but here's the point. I don't really do all this. I find people to help me do it. And that's the only way it's possible. If I tried to do it on my own, it couldn't happen. But there's a lot of people that are willing to help and step up. And I'm forever grateful for those people.
Are you still waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning with new ideas?
I do wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I try to jot those ideas down, but the problem is I can't read my handwriting the next day half the time.
Same. And I've carried around these little recorders and I keep losing them. And then the phone battery dies. So what do you do to capture your memory and thoughts?
You know what, Heather? It depends. I try to make notes on my phone and I try to do it verbally. You know, record like in the notes app or something, and that can turn out bad. It could turn out sort of like your t-shirt, you know?
It gets me in fights on text too. I've sent text to people who don't, whom I've never met. They don't know my sense of humor. And so I'll be trying to make a joke and the text will change it all.
I know.
Could possibly go wrong.
My kids will say, Dad, did you read your text? And they just, then they'll send it to each other. Look what Dad just sent. They think it's the funniest thing ever.
So Scott, you're always so positive. Do you have down times, and what are they like? How long do they last for?
I hesitate to say this. Honestly, I don't really. I have momentarily bad times, but I would say on average they're maybe 60 to 90 seconds. Mostly frustration with simple tasks, but I just refuse to. I'm not going to go down the route, oh, woe is me, you know. It's just, I'm telling you straight up, I'm kind of crazy. And so I block it out and just move on, man.
Awesome. So I saw an article lecture in an old newscast that your wife put out. She said you had only cried one time the day that you were diagnosed with Parkinson's. Is that still the case?
Really is. I mean, I've been emotional recalling stories in the past. I've not sat around and had and by the way, I'm not saying there's anything wrong if somebody does. I've not sat around and had an hour crying time feeling sorry for myself. That's just not my makeup. My kids will tell you that they always felt that I was pretty good at what we call mind games. I think that's been a benefit in battling Parkinson's, is just blocking out the negative and moving on, man.
I personally cry almost every single night.
Yeah. Some people
I have tears coming to my eyes. I don't really cry though.
I understand. I have a good friend that has Parkinson's and he's on some trial with medication. Man, he cries every time we talk. Not for long, but he cries. And that's all right.
May I just address something very briefly here, is that the vulnerability is your power. And I know that many men express feeling emasculated by having certain capabilities changing and taken away. However, I believe that the strongest men I know are the most vulnerable. So I want to just invite you to cry, please.
I think that you can show your vulnerability in multiple ways.
Yes.
Which indeed. Crying is one. For me, it's just being really open, you know? I don't hide it. Like when I step out on the pickleball court, Heather, my hand's shaking and the opponent across the net looks at me and they think they're going to kick my butt. I hit the ball against their body. I call it a body bag shot. It's like, yes.
You're like, you don't know me.
That's right. You have no idea how competitive you are.
You know what it is, guys? All those little situations create the opportunity to increase awareness because you start a conversation and invariably somebody will say, my aunt, my uncle. And now I have people come up to me all the time and ask for, I've got a friend. Could I get one of those newly diagnosed kits? Could I get one of those aware and care kits? All those things.
Is that why you've chosen the Parkinson Foundation to be the benefit of your, you know, walk?
Yeah, the way I describe it, Heather, I say I hitched my wagon with the Parkinson's Foundation. And I'll tell you why I have done that. If I was diagnosed with Parkinson's 30 years ago, the doctor would have prescribed carbidopa, levodopa. If I'm diagnosed today, carbidopa, levodopa. The Parkinson's Foundation's mission is about making life better today. So I'm fond of saying, and I mean this sincerely, the most important thing right now is this minute, the time I'm spending with you two. That's what really counts. I can't look too far ahead. I hope they find a cure in my lifetime, but living the best life I can today. And there is nobody that touches, oddly, this may surprise people, but this is statistically validated. There is no other, I know all the organizations, they're good. Brian Grant, I love Brian Grant, Davis Finney. Michael J. Fox, I could go on and on. They all have their place. But I'm comfortable with the Parkinson's Foundation because of the material they provide at no cost, the information, and their mission is about making life better today. Sometimes I wish all the organizations could come together and be one, but then they all work together if you get to know them.
What would your family say about you and how you've managed Parkinson's?
See, now you are going to make me cry, Heather. I think they would say that I'm like a mule. Just strong. And I didn't say an ass, Heather. And they would say that it's interesting you say that because we do this a lot at dinner at our family. We have question the question game. And I think that one of the questions was the other day was, are you stronger physically or emotionally? My wife said I was stronger physically, which I found interesting. I can tolerate a high degree of pain. So I told you physically. Yeah, I told you I'm kind of crazy.
I would change the word crazy to outlier. You're the kind of person that AI is not going to cancel. They're going to cancel the sheeple, the people that follow along blindly and don't think of new things. They don't have creative thoughts of their own. You are one of the people that's a born leader who's already out there getting things that people don't even know that they want and making those things happen. That's all I see. You're an innovator.
You know, I think my son said something. He felt that I'd become more creative since being diagnosed with Parkinson's. So I don't know what's happened to my brain, but even in business, I always had some creative ideas for marketing, and I love to chase. And what I mean by that, I love to get in front of the right people, no matter how I track them down. You know, that's how I got in Southern Living Magazine. It's a long story, but I found out a connection of a connection. And so you make that introduction and have somebody speak on your behalf, and you start at the top. I like to start at the very top. And if you can connect with the people at the top, great things can happen. People, I believe, and I'm probably naive, but I believe people want to help other people.
I agree 100%.
But you have to ask. And I'm not hesitant to, you know, I tell people when I speak to groups about fundraising, I said, you're not begging. You're doing something worthwhile for a cause that impacts the lives of millions of people. It needs to be done. We can't just sit back.
Yes, you're playing conduit. You're getting
out, yeah. And I mean, and that's Parkey's Radio. Think about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the message you guys are spreading is so important. You're giving a voice. How ironic, you're giving a voice to a community that loses its voice, you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Scott Ryder, doing some freestyle rap.
My name's Scott, and I'm not too hot. I'm not shaky, but I'm ready to take on some bakey. I've got Parkinson's, and I'm gonna win at the end. I can make up a rhyme all the time. Come on, Heather, let's rock and roll. My name's Scott, and I probably talk a lot. Parkinson's is my life. Sometimes it's full of strife, but it's what I got to deal with all the time. Sometimes I feel like I need a dime. Not a bag, just a dime to spend. And the telephone like it used to have been. Do you know about Huck Finn in the state of Missouri? He came in like a real rap flurry. I don't have to make any sense, Heather. You know it don't have to make no sense at all. But you gotta have a big, shiny Super Bowl. I keep it in my drawers right here. I carry it everywhere I go. Super Bowl bounces nice and tall, like I can't do anymore. I don't want to be a bore, so I'm going to stop right there before you start to snore. Good night. Sleep tight.
That'll do it for this episode, folks. Come back next time for more inspiring guests. Thanks for listening. Have a great night, everybody.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man.